If you have your Bibles, though, this morning, you can open them up to Ephesians 6. Only a few more weeks here that I'll be saying that, as pretty soon we'll be finishing out as we've been walking through the book of Ephesians. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the armor of God, though. We've gotten to that section in Ephesians 6 that talks about the armor of God, and we've been talking about preparing for a battle. And that's kind of been the title of our series. We've been walking through the armor of God and how that armor of God protects us from the enemy, from the devil and his evil schemes. And so far, we've talked about three things so far. We've talked about the belt of truth and the importance of knowing truth, right? Because if we know the truth, if we know God's truth and we know his word, it's harder for the enemy to deceive us and to get us caught in his traps, because we know the Lord. And so when the enemy tries to bring those deceptions, we can spot them and say, no, wait a second, that's not of the Lord, that's of you. And we can spot the enemy's deception. We also talked about the breastplate of righteousness and just the importance of walking in his righteousness, because we are not righteous on our own, but he is the one who makes us righteous. And when we walk in his righteousness, the enemy then has nothing to hold over our heads, right? Because the enemy loves to tell us how bad we are. The enemy loves to tell us all the point out all the things in our life. But when we walk in his righteousness and we accept his righteousness, and the enemy has nothing to hold over our heads, and we can walk in freedom. And then last week we talked about the shoes of the gospel and the importance of putting those shoes on. And we talked about four things, if you remember, that the gospel, the shoes of the gospel do for us. It prepares us, it protects us, it plants us in a firm foundation of Jesus Christ, and fourthly, it helps us persevere and to go the distance, and how all four of these things help us experience his peace, the gospel of peace. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at that next piece of armor that Paul tells us we need to put on to protect us against the enemy. So if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me here again in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. This will be our scriptures here again as we finish out this section of the book of Ephesians. It says here, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Verse 14, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." I knew what it was, but I lost my place. "With the buckle of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And then on to this week. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Paul tells us here the next bit of armor. He tells us to take up the shield of faith. So the question here is, what is faith? You know, there are over 280 scriptures in the New Testament alone that talk about faith. 280 scriptures. And I remember about a year and a half ago or so, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, I did a whole series at my youth group in Newburgh titled Faith Is. And every week I'd have a different thing. Faith is this, faith is that. And I did over 7 week series on what faith is, and I didn't even come close to covering every aspect. There are so many facets of faith and what faith looks like. But I think for this morning, one of the best definitions that I could find as far as just kind of a basic definition of faith is this. Faith is a belief in or confident attitude towards God involving commitment to his will for one's life. And let me say that again. Faith is a belief or confident attitude towards God involving commitment to his will for one's life. Basically, it's believing in God and who his word says he is, believing that what his word and who he says in his word is true, so much so that you're willing to give up your life to follow his. That's faith. And what's interesting is we've looked at the armor over the last several weeks. Up until now, Paul's description of the armor of God has been limited to items that we wear, okay? We put on the belt. We put on the breastplate. We put on the shoes. And here's the thing is, once we put them on, they essentially kind of stay on, right? We put them on and we don't have to, you know, they don't fall off. They're made to put on and stay on. But the shield is different. Paul tells us this, that the shield is something that we must take up. We must take up our shield of faith. It's something that we are required to raise up, right? You don't just strap the shield of faith on and just walk around and then you're good, right? No, for it to be used properly, you may put it on your arm, but you take it up and you use it accordingly. You see, what good is our faith if we don't use it, all right? If we don't act upon it, if we don't live it out. You see, it's one thing to believe. It's a completely different thing to actually live it out. I heard this story, an old story. I don't even know if it's true. I doubt it's true, but anyways, I heard this story of an old tightrope walker who did incredible aerial feats all over Paris and throughout Europe. He would do these tightrope acts at tremendously scary heights with no nets. He would start off just doing it normal, then he would do it blindfolded, then he would do it blindfolded with a wheelbarrow, and then blindfolded with a wheelbarrow and somebody in it. And he would go across these high tightrope wires over all over Europe, high places with no nets. So an American promoter read about this in the papers, and he wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying this. He said, "Tightrope, I really don't believe that you can do this, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, plus all your transportation fees here to the United States, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." Now, my wife told me that someone just did this, like the other day, which was amazing. I had this story already. I was telling my wife about this story, and she's like, "Somebody just did this." So anyways, but it's not about that story. But I would like you to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls. Tightrope wrote back, "Sir, although I've never been to America and I've never seen the falls, I've never said no to a challenge, so I'd love to come." So after a ton of promotion and setting the whole thing up, many people came to see this event, and Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and to come to the American side. And so as the drums rolled, Tightrope came across the wire, which was suspended over the treacherous part of the falls, blindfolded, with a wheelbarrow and somebody in it. He made it across easily, and the crowd went wild. So he approached the promoter and he said, "Well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe that I can do it?" And the promoter said, "Well, of course I do. I mean, I just saw you do it." He goes, No. "Do you really believe that I can do it?" "Of course I do. You just did it." No. "Listen to me, Mr. Promoter, do you truly, in all your heart, believe that I can do it?" "Yes," said the promoter, "I believe you can do it." "Good," said Tightrope, "get in the wheelbarrow." Yeah, it's different to say you believe, right? A little bit different to say you believe than to actually act it out. And faith isn't just believing. It's being willing to get in to God's wheelbarrow, to say, "Okay, God, I believe you can do it." Because a lot of times we like to watch other people in the wheelbarrow, right? Right? We don't want to be the one. But it's not enough just to say you believe. A lot of people say that they believe in God. "Oh, I believe in God. I believe in God," right? The Bible even tells us that the demons believed in God, right? It's one thing to say you believe in God. It's another thing to live it. We have to live it out. We have to walk out our faith. We have to take up the shield. We have to take up our faith. As I studied the scripture and the purpose of the shield in battle, There are four things that the Lord just kind of brought to my attention that we could learn about the shield, that we could discover about the shield. And there's four things this morning that I want to share with you that we should know about the shield. And the first thing is this. The shield, it should be our first line of defense. It should be our first line of defense. You see, even though all of our armor is designed to protect us, right? You know, the breastplate of righteousness, these things, they're designed to protect us. It's not what you want to be using to absorb every blow, okay? So think about this. You know, you got the breastplate here, which is supposed to protect your vital organs, and it's, you know, it's solid. But as arrows and things are flying towards you, I don't think you want to start chest bumping the arrows, right? You're not throwing your breastplate to block yourself, right? You know, chest bumping the arrows as they come. Men, a lot of times we will chest bump one another, right? You know, it's like you've got LaMichael James, when he scores a touchdown, they chest bump one another, okay? I don't know anybody for the Beavers, otherwise I'd bring one of them up, but I know the Ducks, so anyways, you know, you don't want to be chest bumping, you know, using your breastplate of righteousness to block things. Same thing with if a sword comes, right? You know, the enemy comes with a sword, they would often use swords. We have this great strong helmet, right? We don't want to throw our helmet in front of the sword, right? Oh, here, let me block it with a helmet. I mean, if that's what you do, I just, honestly, that's just dumb, okay? Because it shouldn't be your first line of defense, all right? Your shield, the shield should be the first line of defense for the soldier. The shield was what they would put out in front of them, that when those things came, when the sword came, when the stuff came, your shield was your first line of defense. It's what you walked forward with. You used it to guard you, and it was your first line of defense. Matthew 14, 28 through 31. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. Matthew 14, 28 through 31. Many of you are familiar with this scripture. It's the scripture where the disciples are in the boat, and Jesus comes walking on water, right? And they think it's a ghost. And they're like, it's a ghost, what? You know, it's like, no, it's me, Jesus. And then Peter responds in this way. It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to Jesus. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing. Peter walked on water. And I don't want to, sometimes we skip over that and we jump right to the failure of Peter, right? He got out of the boat. And that was a huge thing. He actually got out of the boat. Some of us, we just stay in the boat, right? Or we don't get in the wheelbarrow, like I was saying. He literally got into the boat and he walked on water. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, O you of little faith, right? O you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, when our faith in God is strong, when we have our shield of faith up in front of us, we can walk on water. When our faith in God is strong, it's impossible for Satan to break through our shield and land an attack. When we are using it as our first line of defense and when we are walking in that faith. But you see, when we allow ourselves to lower our shield of faith, when we allow doubt to creep in, just as Peter did, when we get distracted and let the things of the enemy cause us to bring down our shield, bring down our faith, then we find ourselves, like Peter, beginning to sink. And here's the thing, then the rest of our armor begins to take the hits that it shouldn't be taking because our shield is down. And the rest of our armor tends to get battered and beaten up. And the truth is, so will we in that process if we don't put out our shield to block, walk in that faith. The shield should be our first line of defense. The second thing that we should know about the shield is this, and here's the thing. The shield's our first line of defense, and when we do that, when we put it out in front, the next three things can happen in our lives. The next three things the shield can do for us. And the second is this. It protects us in the heat of the battle. It protects us in the heat of the battle. Back then, one of the most dangerous weapons used was something known as the fiery spear. Now, it wasn't as common as a lot of the other weapons, but it was used at times, this thing called the fiery spear. And the fiery spear was actually made out of these hollow reeds, probably much like bamboo. Maybe it was bamboo. I'm not sure exactly what it was made out of. But it said that they were made out of these long, hollow reeds. And they would fill up these reeds with flammable liquid. And then they would cap it off on each side with pitch or tar. And on one of the ends, they would build up the pitch or tar and they would light it on fire. And so one of the ways that they would use is they had this fiery spear that they would take out the enemy and they would chuck it at the enemy. And when it hit them, it would break. And so when it would break, flammable liquid would go all over them and the fire on the tar would catch them on fire. Okay? Now think about it. It's a great tactic because if you're on fire, are you going to be worried and pulling out your sword and looking for it? No, you're freaking out. And then it left them to be able to come in and to make the kill. And so it was this weapon, the fiery spear that they would use. You see, but the shields that they would take out, that they would carry, they were pretty large shields. There's all different types of shields. But back at this time, they would carry these large shields. As a matter of fact, and one of the things I've read, they said that some of them were as big as like a modern-day door. I mean, if you look at these doors, so we're talking some big shields, which means these guys must have been strong, you know? Have you ever carried a door around? I used to do trim work and stuff. But doors, you know, they're not light, you know? And carry these big doors around, you know? They're strong guys. But they would have these big, huge shields that they would carry. And when that fiery spear would hit it, the flammable liquid would break over the spear and it wouldn't get on them and it would protect them from the heat. It would protect them from the fire. Much like these shields, our faith can protect us in the heat of the battle. Many of you may be familiar with three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you grew up in church, you remember the story when you were a little kid of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talk about protection in the heat of the battle, right? Probably doesn't get much hotter than what they experienced, all right, without dying or being burnt up, at least physically anyways. But if you're not familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, back in this time, King Nebuchadnezzar had put up this huge golden statue and basically put out this decree that when music was played, everybody in the land must bow down and worship to this idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were men of God, and they weren't going to bow to any idols, to any gods other than theirs. And so it happened, and people saw, hey, why are those three? They're not bowing down. And word got to the king, and so he brought them before them and said, you know, you bow or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And this is, they respond in Daniel 3, 17 through 18. They say, if that is the case, if you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that you will, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set up. So basically they said, we're not going to do it. And so what happened? The trumpet sounded, they didn't bow, and so they threw him in the fiery furnace. You see, when Satan, through Nebuchadnezzar, attacked the values and beliefs of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood firm in their faith. They used that faith as their shield. And if you know the story, God protected them. And it says that even though they got thrown into this fiery furnace, that not even a hair on their body was singed, which is pretty amazing because the guards that took them up, just as they got close to the fire, they died because it was so hot. But God, in their faith, through their faith, protected them in this time. When we truly put our faith and trust in the Lord and truly believe that he is in control, then we can proudly take up our shield of faith and know that he is our protection. And whatever happens, happens. Because they said, we know, we might burn up, but it doesn't matter because our faith and trust is in our God and in nothing else. They walked forward with their faith. And the great thing in this moment, God protected them. And God is our protection. And he will be with us through whatever we go through as we put our faith and trust in him. The shield should be our first line of defense. And when it is, it protects us. And then number three, it extinguishes the flaming arrows. Now, the flaming arrows were different than the fiery spear. The flaming arrows were bow and arrow type arrows that they would shoot. They would dip them in pitch, light them in fire, and just be shooting them off at their enemy. And so the soldier would again use these large shields. And as I read about these shields, I found some interesting information. These large shields were often made of wood as the main structure in the middle. And then they would take animal hide and cover them. And then with iron or steel, they would kind of bind it all together. And before they went into battle, especially when they were going into battle where they knew these fiery arrows would be coming at them, they would dip and soak their shields in water. Now, I talked about already these big shields, how strong they are. Now we're talking about soaking them and walking around them. So these had to be some buff dudes, you know, walking around. But they would take these wet shields, and what would happen is then when that fiery arrow would come, it would hit the shield. And as it kind of went into the wood of the shield and into the cowhide that was all wet, it would extinguish the flame. And it would extinguish the flaming arrows. The truth is, in this spiritual battle, the enemy is constantly shooting fiery darts at us. He's constantly shooting things at us, trying to attack us. Some of the most common ones, as I just thought about this, I was just thinking, what are some of those fiery darts that the enemy shoots at us? Three popped into my mind right away. Three ways that he tries to get us a lot. And the first one we talked about on the first week is lies. He loves to lie and deceive. He loves when he can trick us and get us to believe things that aren't true. And he uses those against us. And if we don't extinguish those, we fall into the trap of those lies. The second thing he uses is fear. He loves to bring fear into our life. He knows that fear can ultimately cripple us and can cause us to, you know, in fear, what happens? We tend to run the opposite direction. We tend to retreat. And so he loves to bring fear into our minds. And if we don't extinguish that fear, then we're going to fall into that trap of that fear, and maybe we will retreat and run the opposite direction. And then the other one that the Lord put on my mind was doubt. That he loves to bring doubt. He knows if he can get us to start doubting, just like Peter did in the waves, that we'll begin to sink, that we'll begin to, you know, the fear comes through that doubt a lot of times, and that in that same thing that we begin to fall and begin to step back instead of moving forward like God has called us to do. These are some scary things that can affect our faith, and it's important that we extinguish them immediately. It's important that through our faith we're able to say, mm-mm, not in my house, right? That we're able to extinguish those flames of the enemy. And the Lord has given us our faith to be able to knock those down, to be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. We must use our faith in what we know of the Lord to keep these darts from affecting us. And again, it comes through His Word. The shield's our first defense. And when we learn to use the shield, it protects us. It extinguishes the flaming arrows. And then the fourth and final thing is this, is that it actually can help us push back the enemy. It can help us push back the enemy. You see, another aspect of the shield was in the middle of these shields. A lot of times they would have this huge, large, you know, brass or metal knob. It was called the boss. I don't know where that name came from, but it was called the boss, and it was used in different ways depending on your type of shield. Many shields had this thing called the boss, but with these big shields, the way they often used the boss was that they would use it kind of like a battering ram. That is, as you're in the middle of the battle and as you begin into that close combat now, because again, this isn't like us, you know, shooting missiles and shooting that kind of stuff. This, is, a lot of times, is that hand-to-hand combat that began. It started off, you know, the arrows, then the flaming, you know, and this, it's coming in. But now they're into this close combat. And so in that close combat, the shield had this boss on it to kind of, as you got close, to come against and to hit up against your enemy. And hopefully that large melting would kind of knock them off balance, maybe knock them to the ground. And then is at that moment that then you could use your weapon against them and take out the enemy. So its purpose was to push back the enemy or to push it down. And God's given us faith that we can do the same against the enemy. James 4:7, it tells us this. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves to God. That's what we talked about. What faith is, it's believing in God so much that you're willing to follow His will, to submit yourself to Him. So have faith, it's saying here. Have faith in God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. We have the ability to resist the devil. Our faith in God and our ability to resist the enemy can give Satan a good shove backwards and even cause him to flee. You see, we've talked about the fact that Jesus has already won the victory. Over the last several weeks, that continues to pop up as we talk about the armor and the battle, that Jesus has already won the victory. So we can move forward in faith. We can use our shield to push the enemy back and sometimes take back ground that was once lost, right? Ground that was once lost. In World War II, Germany and Japan had taken over many countries. And in the end of the war, what were we doing? We were going and taking back those countries and taking back that land for who they belonged to, right? And there's times in our life where we've allowed the enemy to push us back, or we've retreated in fear. And God's desire is that we would push back into the enemy and take back that ground that was lost. You see, in my life, I've had this happen many times. I've shared my testimony at different times in my struggles in the Marine Corps, but when I fell in the Marine Corps, you see, I felt like I had ruined my chance of ever becoming a youth pastor. The mistakes that I made, I thought, well, I can't be a youth pastor now. I've ruined that. I had given up so much ground to the enemy, but through a good friend who called me out in my failures and my mistakes and encouraged me, said, man, those are lies of the enemy. Remember what I told you, some of those darts? It's the lies of the enemy. And he encouraged me, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And so through my faith in Jesus Christ, through the encouragement of this friend of mine, and understanding God's love for me and his grace and his desire to use me as part of his army and his desire to use me in his kingdom, I was able to take back the ground that I had lost. And guess what? I've been advancing ever since. Now, that's not to say that I've been perfect or that I don't at times take a step back or two, right? Because we're all human and we all make mistakes. But I've done my best to continue to move forward. I became a youth pastor, was for 15 years, was planning on another 15, and the Lord said, no, here's that next journey. Now you're going to take some new ground. You're going to continue to advance forward in even a new community, in a new place. And God is faithful that as we walk in faith and we put up our shields and push forward, he's faithful to help us to push back the enemy and to take ground. You see, we've been given the shield of faith to take what is ours, to take what is his, and to continue to push back the enemy. And if we're faithful to continue to do that, as it says in Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And you know, I never quite understood that, what that scripture was about when I was younger. You know, the gates of hell, I always had this imagine of hell over there and gates around this place, and I'm thinking, well, why do I want to go over there anyways? But you know, I'm just thinking, maybe God, when he destroys, he'll break down. I didn't know what that meant, and I've realized, at least my understanding of the gates of hell shall not prevail is this: is you see, the enemy is the one that tries to move in on us, and he tries to put these gates to wall us in and to keep us from being God's light to this kingdom and to the world around us. And he puts up these gates. And it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We have been given the shield of faith to knock down those gates, or the boots of peace, to kick them down. Amen? To knock through, to advance. That's what our faith is about. Our faith gives us that ability to move forward, to take more ground for the kingdom of God. We're not about conquer and destroy. We're about conquer and see people experience the joy and the peace and the love of God in their lives. That's what it's about, and we do that through our faith, through taking up our shield every day. It's not easy. Sometimes I can guarantee you, I mean, we're talking about the size of a door shield. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know, to pick it up and to begin to move forward. It's hard. But as we continue walking that faith, God is faithful to come alongside us. And we just sung, God is stronger, right? He is stronger and he is more capable than anything to help us advance against the enemy, to protect us, to extinguish those fiery darts. That's God's desire for our life. That's why it's so important that we take up the shield of faith. Amen. Let me just pray, and we're going to continue to worship this morning and spend some time with the Lord, finishing in worship, and then we'll wrap up by baptizing here at the end. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we just, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and mercy that's poured out upon us. We thank you for your word here, Lord, today, and Lord, you have given us our faith. Our faith is trusting and believing that you are who you say you are, so much so that we are willing to give our lives to follow you, Lord. I want to be a man that walks in faith. I want to be a man that, Lord, doesn't allow my shield to sit down beside my bed or wherever it may be, but that I take up my shield every day to walk in your faith, Lord. I want to be someone, Lord, that doesn't just say, well, yeah, I believe in God. I want to be someone who's willing to get in the wheelbarrow and to let you take me wherever you want to take me, to allow you to make me into whoever you desire me to be, Lord Jesus, to live the life that you've called me to live, Lord. That's what it's about, walking in our faith with boldness, with strength, and with authority so that we can go into your kingdom and that we can take back ground against this enemy, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. May it penetrate our hearts, each of us where we're at. Lord, we're all on different journeys. We're all in different places of life as we're learning and growing and seeking to know who you are, Lord. And I just pray that you meet each of us where we're at. Speak to each of us. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.